A team of experts are in the country to assist in the formulation of the country's migration policy. And the two experts are Dr. Mehari Tadele Maru, IGAD migration expert, and Mr. Mading Nyal Chengan, Senior Project Analysis IOM, and also the two accompanied by Captain John Mading Mabor, who is head anti-human trafficking and migrants smuggling unit. They join me in the studio for a discussion on the migration policy and its relevance to the country. Gentlemen, good morning and you're welcome.
Good morning.
All right. So now I'll start with Mading. Why does South Sudan need an immigration policy?
Thank you for having us. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, I would like to say good morning to our listeners. I would like to go straight to answer your question. And Why do South Sudan need immigration policy? We are a country just like any other country, and if you don't have a policy in place as immigration department,
right,
you will be doing completely nothing, because policy is what governs all the activities of immigration.
Mm-hmm.
This idea came because we identify the gap that we have as a country, and in particular as immigration department, because we don't know how to go about issues to do with our economic growth.
Right.
Because if you look at immigrants, mm-hmm, that come here, we have economic migrants,
mm,
but if we don't have policies that govern the operations in the country,
right,
we will not be able to, you know, streamline the activities.
All right, Mading, I'll get back to you for more details with regards to that. And now let's move on to Dr. Tadele. You're an expert on policy formulation. What risks does an absence of immigration policy pose for South Sudan right now?
Yes, the risks are usually known. A country without a policy means a country with the analogy is a plane without a compass.
Mm-hmm.
Policy generally give a direction towards an end state or ultimate aim that should be achieved. And South Sudan, as my colleague earlier has said, is a country of origin,
mm-hmm,
that produce almost more than 4 million IDPs and refugees in neighboring countries. It's also a country of destination for many migrants. If you wish, more than 250,000 refugees are in South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
And if not more than that, are labor migrants, more than 1 million at least.
Right.
So it's a country of destination also. Recently, it's becoming a country of transit for, mm-hmm, many migrants who are wishing to travel to Mediterranean Sea. They are using this one as a soft route, soft border. So this in general shows that the need for migration policy is more acute than ever in many ways.
Right. And what's your role in this policy formulation?
Well, I'm one of the leading experts in Africa on migration. Have been heading the migration program at the African Union. And now I am the lead expert on migration at IGAD and chief strategist. South Sudan, through the NAC, the National Aliens Committee, or the National Coordination Mechanism for Migration, requested me to assist them through IOM in the formulation of these policies,
right,
on migration and related issues.
Right. Just take us through some ideas, some areas a migration policy would seek to address.
Yeah, generally speaking, migration has about 14 dimensions. Just to prioritize those areas that affect the country more significantly. Like I said, migration and security is highly interrelated. So security, peace and security, the numbers that I mentioned earlier about refugees, IDPs, or even refugees coming to South Sudan or going outside South Sudan, these are related to peace and security.
Right.
Once you have a relative stability, this will change. There will be repatriation, there will be return, and there will be return of migrants or increasing labor migrants in the country. So migration is highly intertwined with peace and security. Or I can take you to a very softer one, beyond the hard peace and security issue.
Mm-hmm.
Softer one will be health. As you know, We have seen the case of Ebola in West Africa, and it was related to the movement of people.
Right.
And as such, if you don't have a sophisticated surveillance system of health in border areas, then you risk also health problems, pandemics, and so on and so on.
Mm.
So there are also migration and diaspora. As we know, South Sudan has a large diaspora as a result of the long protracted struggle for independence and after independence. And the diaspora has a role, both positive and negative, in peace and security, in political matters, but also in economics, in terms of skill transfer, development, remittances of funding, supporting families, and bringing new values for the country, and so on and so on. So there are myriads of dimensions of migration. These are a few to mention among the 14 dimensions of migration.
Right. And Dr. Tadel, I'm still with you. It's a back-to-back session.
Yes, please.
All right. So trans-border crime poses serious problems with regards to smuggling and human trafficking. Is it possible to fight such phenomena, in this time?
Yes. Actually, it's in this time you need more combating stance, because when the borders are porous, when government entities are focusing on other areas, when different actors control border areas, then smugglers and traffickers time is more it becomes more useful and more easy for traffickers and smugglers to use this border, porous border.
Right.
So it's during this time that is important. But at the same time, you need also the capability of the state to be more robust to counter and address trafficking, especially in border areas.
Right. And Niel, you're my third guest. I haven't heard your voice. Sorry, I did not ignore you. You are the senior project analyst of IOM. What role is IOM playing in the immigration policy formulation?
Well, thank you for the opportunity. IOM in South Sudan is the partner. It partner with the government to help strengthen its institutions, and in that area of institutional strengthening, migration policy and legislative review is one of the major areas of support,
right,
beside other IOM activities.
Mm-hmm.
And we come in here for technical and support, financial support. For the policy. And it was a request, the background of this program, it was a request from the government. Okay, the background of this project was a request from the government for a technical support and financial support to the National Alliance Committee and its large national coordination mechanism.
Right.
The National Alliance Committee is an interagency coordinating body sanctioned by the law, Passport and Immigration Act 2011. It required that at the technical level, the government should have interagency coordination that bring in, that discuss policies related to migration.
Right.
That will be linked to the cabinet governance cluster. And this technical body has a lot of entities such as labor, security, police, with different unit of police. And one of the resolution was to have a policy direction. So we brought in Dr. Mohari to do a rapid assessment to give this committee a picture, at least a snapshot,
right,
of what migration looked like in South Sudan before they start putting down some sort of a formally policy formulation and strategies on how to govern or manage or control migration.
Right.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, Niel, there. And now back to you, Mading. Illegal immigration and external border control, what would you opt for? Would you opt for strengthening the patrols, or rather opt for a stronger economic cooperation with neighboring countries?
I'm going to go greedy. I will help for both, in fact.
Okay, so give
because,
us why.
Yeah, because in the first place, you have to look at yourself inside before you think of a cooperation from outside.
Right.
That means that we have to strengthen our border patrol. And at the same time, we have to man the border properly, working together with other agencies, government agencies, and control the border. I know it's a porous border, it's very difficult to man it, but of course, at least the gazetted areas, we were able to man that. And then doing the cooperation part, as
with the neighboring countries,
yes, as Dr. Mari said before, South Sudan is a source, is a transit, and a destination country, and you can cap the criminal network without the cooperation of your neighboring country.
Right.
So most of the routes that they use is through Uganda and come to South Sudan, probably to Sudan and then Libya. But if we have a cooperation and we have a good partnership in place with Uganda, for example, and Kenya, and then we'll be able to nab the networks.
Okay.
Yeah, so that means that our cooperation with other countries is very, very vital.
So your greedy idea actually works.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dr. Tadele, how long will it take to come up with an immigration policy?
Well, usually it depends on the stakeholders' consultation, because it has to be what I am calls the whole of government approach, that the whole government has to be engaged, because it has many stakeholders, like I said, from peace and security actors, security sector, to issues of Minister of Health, Minister of Labor, Minister of Foreign Affairs. All those actors has to be involved. So the process could take a minimum of 9 months to finalize and discuss, and then also popularize to an extent to the major stakeholders.
Right.
If I may also, in the process, we hope that it will not be only a process, it will be a product where people will be familiarizing with the state of migration in the country, what should be done. One area is like my colleague was saying earlier, that the border governance aspect will be critical, and we know the move at the continental level, at IGAD level, at AU level, that first point is that these borders are colonial borders, they are not African people's borders. We have to change from colonial border to integrative people's border. So that means integration and working closely with communities on the ground will be important. Beyond that, also cooperation between different segments within the country. And that capability that has been mentioned, specifically that the capability of the state to see who is going out and who is going in is important. That doesn't mean it has to stop anyone, but that power has to be there to make sure that the country and the state has that capability to of purview or seeing what is happening on the border areas. That doesn't mean necessarily curtailing movement of people. It may be even facilitating safe movement of the people effectively. And for this, the country has to have that capability to differentiate between good mobility, good movement of people, and bad movement of people. And that is a lot of work to be done. So I expect it will be a long process, even if the drafting of the document itself will not take that long.
All right. So, Doctor, last but not least, an ordinary South Sudanese listening in right now, this morning, I mean, they may be wondering, should they even be caring about immigration policy? What's in there for the citizens of this country?
No, I think a lot. We know actually it is at the citizens, ordinary citizens level, that the issue of labor migration is raised. That labor migrants from neighboring countries are coming and taking small jobs of vending in trade, petty trade, and so on and so on.
Right.
Actually, it is the same ordinary people who will benefit from this policy, because South Sudan will have a clear policy how its industry, its labor market, its job market will be governed clearly. What will be specifically, exclusively be for South Sudanese, and what will be allowed for skill to be imported on those areas that South Sudanese do not have the skill will be differentiated. For now, we don't have that. And that's the reason why you could have even more reactions from the common person on African migrants coming to work here,
right.
Even if that is not their own mistake, neither of them. It's basically the lack of policy brings those kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And with policy, there will be more clarity and people will be encouraged also to develop their skill and so on and so on.
Right. And in case you just joined us, this is the Mirai Breakfast Show. A team of experts are in the country to actually assist in the formulation of the country's migration policy. Gentlemen, before I let you go, any final remarks? I'll start with Niel.
I had just a little bit.
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Mm.
My last final remark is the citizen engagement. I would like to hear more from the citizens on what is their view on migration in South Sudan, so
right.
that as IOM, we can always prioritize our support for the government.
Right.
In a way that have a maximum impact.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of technical or support, financial needs for the development of policy. Number two is it need to have a continuous dialogue, because at the end of the day, we want to see a proper migration policy and end with a proper migration profile for the country that we can be updating over time, but still remain relevant at least 20, 25, 30 years from now.
All right.
Thank
you so much, Niel. And Mading?
My final remark would be something more similar to what Mading has just said, but I would focus more on civil society engagement. You know, this is a policy that we're developing and we need support and we need advocacy for the policy.
Mm.
And this policy, it's addressing the concerns of our people, because many times people have been asking me personally, people have been asking me, do we even have a migration policy in place? And the question is always, we are developing, we are working on one.
Hmm.
Tomorrow we'll have a validation workshop on the policy itself.
Right.
And it's a good step that we have taken, and we're trying to address the concerns of our citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And also we will need them. They will need their support on board.
Right.
So that's what I can
right.
say. Yeah.
And Dr. Mehari?
Yes, like it was mentioned, tomorrow we'll have a validation workshop on the rapid assessment I and my colleagues have conducted, and that will hopefully lead to a national migration policy and profile. Two points, two messages, if you wish, last message. The first one, I must say South Sudan is advanced compared to the other neighboring countries in establishing a national coordination mechanism, what we call NAC, National Alliance Committee, and that gives it a coordination mechanism that is already in place, and that is a plus for our work here, and the Minister of Interior has been working on this. We are appreciative of that. The second and last point is that there are more South Sudanese outside the country, other refugees and other diaspora. There are also other Africans in South Sudan.
Hmm.
So this is not one way traffic. The public has to understand that this is an important area, migration and mobility. Without that, there will not be integration and the kind of things that we are talking at the African Union level, IGAD level, and the recent Kigali agreements show that we need more mobility, good mobility, than less mobility, if you wish.
Right. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
All right. And if you've been listening in, my guests this morning are Dr. Mehari Tedele-Maru, who is IGAD migration expert, Mr. Mading Niel Chingan, who is senior project analyst IOM, and also Captain John Mading Mabor, who is head anti-human trafficking and migrant smuggling unit. And they've been with me. And now we've only left with 11 minutes to the top of the hour. This is the Mirai Breakfast Show. My name is Irene Lasu. I'll be right back.